Alrighty, hello, hello. So this conversation comes, oh, it's honestly long overdue. For how long has it been now, Ariana? For about a year and a half, I want to say, almost a year. It's been a long time. What is time? Ram Audimai has taken platform on Aria Breakfast. And I was on the Aria website and saw that there really isn't a foundation to start the discussion. We talk every Tuesday, but perhaps if someone doesn't know what Reo Morimai does or is hearing our Tuesday conversations and is unsure where that conversation came from or began from, then where could they go? And so this is exactly that, providing not only the skeleton, but I guess just, you know, fleshing things out from the beginning. So that indeed these conversations can be streamlined in some sense. Of course, they are so expansive and big, but yes. So first thing, Ariana, we should say is just, how are you after that intro?
Kia ora, yeah, I'm doing well. That lockdown, we've just come out of lockdown 2.0, and it was overdue for me to have a bit of a government mandated go home, stay home. So yeah, doing well.
I'm pleased to hear. So throughout this conversation, we'll basically just break down all of the topics that predominantly come up in our Tuesday shows. And hey, just, I suppose, you know, flesh out the things that on the radio show we maybe can't flesh out so intensely. In saying that, though, this will be broadcast across the week in 5 parts. So, hey, if you have missed any part of it, then you should certainly check out all of the other ones on the RGU website. So, firstly, the conversation should start at, what is Reo Māori Mai?
Kia ora, yeah. Reo Māori Mai is my business, so I've been running it for nearly 5 years now, and the basis of Reo Māori Mai is supporting a variety of organisations and groups and individuals with development around what I call Māori stuff. So that can be te reo Māori or conversations around tikanga and protocols, strategic thinking and planning around Māori things within an organisation. And so that's kind of been the mainstay of Reo Māori Mai for the last few years, and then more recently have been offering things online through social media around language resources, but also some of my thinking or observations around the context of Māori stuff in Aotearoa in 2021 and going forward, and kind of trying to have some challenging conversations but also stimulate discussion and thinking and adding to that bigger picture. So we also sell stuff. So Reo Māori Mai, we make language resources, games, beautiful things for homes and classrooms and workplaces, and we sell those to kind of have a little bit of a side hustle running alongside the other things that we're doing.
I've actually never asked you this question. What was the catalyst to starting Reo Māori Mai?
Yes, good question. I fell in love with a person who lived on the other side of the island to me. So I was living in Christchurch and I was in a relationship with someone who lived in Hokitika, and I made the leap and moved to Hokitika, and then I needed to look for work that would sustain me living between the West Coast and the East Coast because my children were still on the East Coast. So that's how the business side of it started, because I was looking for independent work where I could do some of it on the West Coast and some of it on the East Coast, and teaching te reo Māori was the thing that I was able to do that people wanted at the time. And so that was, and I'm from the West Coast. My whānau are from a place called Arahura, just north of Hokitika. So it was nice to be able to be home on the West Coast every second week to give into those communities, and then on the East Coast the other week with my children and give into these communities.
Amazing. as you say, it's been 5 years in the making. So from that start, how have you seen change in not only what Reo Moldimai, I guess, predominantly is spieling about, but also in the ways in which Moldydom is discussed? Big question, I know.
I think when I first started, I was a different person. I was also very aware of a somewhat precarious position that I was in terms of maintaining an income, to be honest. So working with people, I was very keen to make sure that I was doing as much as I could to provide what they were looking for. And so really, whatever an organisation would ask of me, I was happy to oblige. And that might include giving Māori names to things, supporting with translations, doing a lot of work over and above what I was contracted to, often for free. And but still the same kind of buy-in and engagement from the people who were part of the classes that I was running. Mm-hmm. So that hasn't really changed across the years. I think what has changed is me. And so in those 5 years, I feel like I've grown a lot. I have engaged with a lot of the conversations around a broader context, not just for Māori stuff, but for Indigenous issues and for intersectionality of other marginalised groups and our issues, and how it's a very, there's a lot of similarities in those experiences. And I've just become less obliging. So I now, you know, if an organisation is looking for some Māori names, then we have a conversation around whether or not that's relevant or appropriate. Even in classes now, it is a balance. It's finding a balance of the te reo goals or aspirations of the people who are in the class alongside my commitment to having those uncomfortable, challenging conversations around that broader context. For me, that feels really important, so that people don't just get to engage with the kind of low-hanging fruit, the feel-goods. You know, I can say a karakia and my mihi, but if that person doesn't have an understanding of all aspects of the Māori experience, then I think I've done them a disservice as their kaiako, as their teacher. Mm-hmm. So yeah, feel like it's a bit more rounded now and a lot more real.
Oh, kia ora. Yeah, for sure. I think it's expansive almost, these discussions. Yes. And as the years go by, I feel like, as I love to say on the show, everything's a thing. Everything is connected to another thing in a unique way now. And just slowly but surely, my hands are moving, pulsing in the air. You can't see, but like everything is just growing, you know? And of course we love to see it. Indeed, real, the way you say that conversation is now real, because I remember the days where I would learn how to say my mihi in primary school but not know really what I was saying. And that's truly not learning, you know, that's not understanding deeply, is it?
Mm. Yeah, I think one of the important pieces to the puzzle is the why behind everything. So and if I could summarise that change, I think initially there was a strong focus on the what can I say, what words do I use, what's a Māori version of, da-da-da, and now we have a lot more conversations, not just within Reo Māori Mai, but I think as a society, we're having a lot more questions about why. Why are we doing certain things? Why would I say that? Why, you know, and use that as a lens to assess whether or not we're acting in ways that are appropriate.
100%. Well, I guess this will be our first part done and dusted, but make sure to head over to Reo Moldimai's social media, and we'll be chatting for the rest of the week indeed. So excited to flesh out these conversations further with you, Ariana.
Kia ora.